What do you got, Morg?
Well, Marv Albert had another press conference today in New York, and reporters all screaming at him, yeah.
So what'd they ask him?
Well, one of them says, what do you think about the pink slip? And Marv says, I hope it fits.
Hello.
All right. Greg Wong, Steve Cannon was Greg Wong's tennis sparring partner and good friend. And Greg, I have one question.
What's that, Patrick?
Did he go to his reward owing you a few lunches is what I want to know. Did he beat you out of a few lunches during those years?
Actually, I'll tell you, Steve-O rarely went into a place to have lunch where he didn't know that, you know, in advance that he was getting it free. he had Perkins as a sponsor for many years, and he had the Perkins credit card or whatever, and we'd play tennis and go over to Perkins and have a little late lunch before he'd go on the station. And if anybody knows him, they know that he never showed up at the station until the dogs were barking. And then he just slipped right into it. He did probably as little preparation for a show as anybody I've seen in any business. He just showed up and he winged it. And he'd read the morning sports section when he'd get up before he'd go play tennis. And then he'd just wing it for the rest of the day. And very, very talented guy.
And folks need to know, that's not easy to do.
Not at all. That's for sure. I didn't, as you guys may know, I did a little radio there at KSTP for a little bit, and I had copious notes, and none of which I ever looked at. So
well, no,
I thought I was prepared.
Greg, this is Jay. We all sit in here and prepare for 3.5 hours, and it sounds like we came in unprepared.
But you got to remember, I always used to kid Steve. You know, he was on from like 3 to 6, but in that 3 hours, he was probably on the air only about an hour. Because they had, you know, news, weather, traffic, the sports talk show with Sid and Point of Law and everything else. And I used to give him grief about it, and he'd just sit back and smile.
He, as a tennis player, was he more willing than capable? I mean, you're a pretty good player. How did you and he end up playing against each other?
Well, we started playing after I got back out of the Army in whatever that was, 71, and Steve was doing some, North Star games with Al Shaver, and we got to talking. We started playing tennis, and I had just started playing, and he'd pretty much just started playing. And for several years, we played about twice a week. And then my game, of course, I'm 20 years younger than Steve, so I had a little more youthful zest going for me, and my game got a little better, and Steve got older, and so it became less fun to play. Although we started playing some doubles together, and Steve-O, we'd walk out in the court, and Steve would take charge. He'd say, "All right, Wonger, you go play another side. George, you're my partner. Bill, you're Wonger's partner. Bill, you open the balls, and I'll serve first." That's sort of how it was, but it was always a treat playing with him.
You know, for a guy who made his living being a public guy, he was pretty private, wasn't he?
He really was. You know, he didn't want to do anything like to help promote the station. Didn't show up at many events. Hated doing the state fair. All his sidekicks were always on vacation during the state fair, and he didn't hang out with big shots, didn't run in big celebrity circles. He had his tennis friends and his friends around the neighborhood, and he was very, very low-key that way.
It's one thing that everybody in the business off the air really respected Steve for, the fact that the rumor is anyway, Greg, that he had it in his contract that he didn't have to go to the state fair. Everybody in the business in town just loved him for that.
Yeah, I tell you, he'd come out of those negotiation sessions with management, and he would just badmouth them left and right. Oh, SOBs, I'm not giving it to him. And he always won because he had the power of the ratings behind him.
Now, one of my favorite stories involves you and he would play tennis. Did you play at Calhoun Lake? Did you play at Calhoun?
No, we played mostly out at the old North Star Club.
Okay.
Well, actually, we started playing at the roller rink in St. Louis Park, and then the old then down at Nicollet Tennis Center, and then once we both got free memberships from the Northwest clubs, we started playing at the North Star Club.
And once in a while, I understand that you guys would happen to be in the shower, and there'd be other guys in there, and just to kind of shake up the other guys, he'd show an act of affection towards you that kind of got everybody nervous. Is that
nice?
And we're not talking about a kiss on the cheek.
Nice.
Just to make things, what is this old guy doing with this Asian fella over here?
Wait a minute. I'm not Asian, I'm Chinese.
Hey, Greg, this is Jay. I got to ask, okay, if it wasn't a kiss on the cheek.
No, we don't want to know.
No. We've gone as far as
we're
going to go. Mr. Investigative.
He had to use both hands.
Okay, I was going to say, but there had to be a cheek involved. I know that.
Well, boy, he went quick, didn't he?
He was complaining of stomach pain all last summer, and then when he got down to Naples in November, he finally went to the doctor, and the cancer was diagnosed, and Steve decided he didn't want to do chemo, and he was going to come home and die, and he was home right to the end, and his family was there, and I stopped by to visit him a few times, and took over lunch a couple of times, and I mean he was so matter of fact and realistic about it. He wasn't depressed. He wasn't emotional. He said, "Hey, you know, I've had a pretty good life. I've got a good family, and I've had a nice run while it lasted. And you know, my time is up." And I wanted to cry, but he was just very, very matter of fact about it, and that's the way it was. And
as part of that privacy thing, I understand he let very few people come over and see him, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because I know several other friends of Steve that wanted to stop by, and Steve just, he got tired very easily, and, he had a nurse visiting him at the home regularly and with his family, and, he just didn't have a lot of energy to give, and I feel very privileged to... I've been allowed to go see him those few times.
And do you think, in retrospect here, that he ever paid retail?
Well, I can tell you, we used to have a group called, fun group, just sort of a made-up group called the America's Guest Club. And Steve was one of the founding members, along with Patrick, you might remember, you remember Harvey Solon from the...
Oh, yes, of course.
Yep, and Bob Larson, who ran the Tennis Midwest, and myself, Robbie Meads, the old North Stars organist, and Gary Kasner. We had a bunch of us that, if it wasn't cheap or free, at best, we would hope. we didn't accept it, so.
Okay.
We had a lot of fun with that.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
Sure, you can.
All right, Greg Wong, a very close friend of Steve Cannon, and I just know him some. I didn't know him a lot, but he was a unique individual, and as Kenny said, pretty much just told management to take a hike. Maybe that's why he left here. I don't know. He was at KSTP for 13 years and then WCCO for 26.
I believe the story with him was he actually, boy, I don't know if I should say this or not, but he actually made things right with upper management as he left the building because he didn't want to burn that bridge. I don't know if that rumor is true or not.
Well, that's the way most people have left here. No burning, no bridges.
No, right? No, not at all, Patrick.
All right, here's Bob Berglund with the headlines.